chapter 16, where Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I know a lot of you were out working in other places this morning, but I told them I was in a parts store. It was kind of a local hangout where I was preaching down in South Georgia last week, and the guy was talking to one of his customers about why he hadn't been in revival, and he made excuse after excuse, and the guy just kept hammering him about being in church. And the guy finally said before he left, "Look," he said, "church ain't everything." And that thing stuck in my mind, and I thought on it all week long. And I thought, you know, church is everything. It was everything to Jesus. He laid down his life for the church. He gave himself for the church. I love the church. It was the church where I heard the gospel. It was the church that took us in when nobody else wanted us. It was the church that loved us when divorce was a taboo thing. And thank God, I just want to say hallelujah for the church tonight. Amen. Hey, it's the church was there when my son was in a coma. It was the church that was there when my daddy died. It was the church that was there every time there's been a trouble or a trial. Thank God for the church. And I preached this morning, church is everything. Church, we ought to raise it on our priority list. It ought to be way, way, way up there. Church, let me say it again. It ought to be way, way up there. Something's wrong in this country when we put a bigger emphasis on the public school system than we do the church house. We've fallen so far that there's more priority put on baseball and football and different sports than there is the house of God. Amen. I'd rather my son know he is going to heaven when he dies than to see him throw a touchdown. Amen. I'm not against ball, but I'm against it when it's at church time. Amen. Y'all all right? This morning I preached the church is everything because it has the right education. Has the right education. Our kids are being taught what is right. And then they go out in the world, what is wrong is being shoved sideways down their throat. Amen. They won't even tell them the truth about American history in that public school. Amen. So God's honest truth. They're trying right now to outlaw Christmas carols altogether. I don't mean Silent Night. I'm talking about Jingle Bells, all of them. Simply because that holiday has to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the right education. I said not only that, church is the right environment. It's the right environment. Our children are safe here. We're safe here. Our wives ought to be safe here. Amen. I know some churches isn't nothing but a cesspool for adultery, and it shouldn't be that way in the house of God. Amen. Amen. People swapping wives like they's trade cars. Man, something's wrong with you. Amen. You married her, put up with her. You married him, put up with him. Amen. And don't put your hands on my wife, and I won't put my hands on yours. It's the right environment. I love church. They're doing everything. I'll get to the message in a minute. They're doing everything in the world today to make church look less and less like church. Amen. Have y'all seen this when they're building this monstrosity down here on I-20 there at Six Flags? Have y'all seen that? It looks like the Atlanta Aquarium or something. You would never know that that was a church. Never know. I don't even think the sign out there says church on it. I forgot what it says, but it don't say church. And that's a good thing. That'd be false advertisement, amen? Y'all all right? Hey, I like it looking like a church. I like our steeple. I like our pews. I like our choir loft. I like the chandeliers. I like a pulpit. Amen, made out of wood. You say, that's not biblical. No, but it says church. It's not in the Bible that you have to have a wooden pulpit. It's not in the Bible that you have to have pews instead of chairs. It's not there. But when you see this, it says church. It don't say country club. It don't say bank. It don't say office building. It don't say storefront. It says, that's a church. Amen. I'm always reminded every time I see on television anything in the old Ryman Auditorium in Nashville, Tennessee. You ever seen the inside of there? You know it don't have chairs? It has pews. It has stained glass windows. You know why? It wasn't built for country music. It was built for Sam P. Jones to preach in when he came to town. Amen. That's why it looks like a church. Hallelujah. I love the church, amen. I love the church. Anyway, I said it had the right education, had the right environment. I said it even has the right entertainment. We have fun around here, amen. You know what we did with them bus kids last Sunday with them horses? We entertained them kids for a little while. We preached the gospel to them, but we had fun too. You know what we did yesterday? We entertained one another. Well, let me rephrase that. Michael and Shane entertained us. In case you weren't at the park yesterday, Michael knocked Shane out. They had a boxing match. I told Michael, I said, how do you feel? You just knocked over a one-legged man. I mean, man, you just went way down morally, amen. But then Casey knocked on Michael a little bit, and that was fun. Everybody enjoyed that, but Michael's mama, she wouldn't even watch, amen. Has the right entertainment. Then lastly, this morning I said the church has the right ending. The church has the right ending. Chances are, you try and raise your children out of church, they'll die and go to hell. That's a probable prediction right there. Amen. I know people have gotten mad at the church and hurt with the church and sideways with the church and they've gotten out of church. But when they left saved. They left backslid, but they left saved. But they drug behind them some little ones who had not yet come to the knowledge of knowing Christ as their Savior. And all because they got mad at the church. You don't never hear them about getting mad at the school. Bless God, our kids won't be back. Y'all okay? I'd rather my kid miss school and been in all the meetings last week. Amen. I love my children here preaching like that. Amen. I believe that's why my kids are still in church today, because they've heard preaching like that all their life. And the emphasis has been on church. Of course, God in the Bible, that's number one. But brother, I'm telling you, the church ought to be way up there on that list of priorities. Amen? Tonight, go back to Matthew chapter number 16. And I just want to talk about the church a little bit tonight. The church. We ought to think more of her than what we do. Amen? We ought to respect it a little more than what we do. Why? Jesus gave himself for it. Jesus gave himself for it. It meant that much to him that he's willing to shed his blood and die for it. And by the way, the church ain't this building. When we mistreat one another, we're mistreating what Jesus died for. When we talk about one another behind each other's back, we're mistreating what Jesus cared enough to shed his blood and go to Calvary and die for. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, I got to get to this sometime. I was going to try to be done early because I'm wore out. And Matthew 16 and verse number 13. The Bible said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? I told them this morning, I'm going to repeat some of that a little bit, but we'll get to something different in a minute. He asked his own disciples, he said, what's the story on the street? Who are they saying I am? Yeah. Well, some said you're John the Baptist, some said you're Elijah, some said you're Jeremiah. And he said, but wait a minute, who do you? Boy, that preached right there. Who is Jesus to you? Amen. Is he a spare tire in your trunk? I know people that don't come around. I know people that don't pray. They don't ever call. You don't ever see them until something bad happens. Oh, we gotta grab our spare Jesus out of the trunk. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a Christmas? Is he a holiday? A chance to get a couple weeks out of school and a day or two off work? What is he to you? Man, I tell you who he is to me. He's Savior and he's Lord and he's King. Hallelujah. That's who Jesus is to me tonight. He said, whom do you say, or whom do men say that I am? Or he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Listen, I want to talk about a couple of things tonight. I want to talk about the foundation are the sure foundation of the church. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Jesus says here, on this rock I will build my church. And the Catholic Church says that that rock is Peter. That rock is Peter, and that's what the church is built on. Friend, I'm sorry, it's not built on Peter. It's built on that supernatural statement that Peter made when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's Him. It's the Messiah. That's who you are. You're the one who came to deliver us from our sin. It's you that'll go to Calvary, suffer and bleed and die. It's you that'll rise again in 3 days and ascend to the Father and intercede for our sin. That's what the church is built on tonight. It is built on Jesus and nothing less. Amen. Had nothing to do with Peter. It was just a statement people made. And by the way, men, would you help me, as long as we have breath in our bodies, to keep the foundation of this thing right? Would you guys stand with me when they start trying to push Jesus aside? Hey, when we keep preaching the truth like we did on the radio this morning and somebody tries to bring charges, would you come get your crazy preacher out of jail? Amen. My mouth got ahead of me this morning. I said some things I probably shouldn't have on the radio. I shouldn't have said, "If you mess one of these kids, I'll blow your brains out." I should have said, we'll let Brother Jason do it or something. Amen. But seriously, I want to know that I've got men who wants to keep Jesus the main thing around here. I want our music to be about Him. I want our message to be about Him. I want our Sunday school to be about Him. Hey, He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Hey, let's lift Him up. Let's lift Him. I hate it on my birthday and pastor appreciation. It's so hard to preach after you brag on me and tell me how good I am, how wonderful I am, and then my heart, I'm going, 20 years, you ought to know me better than that. I appreciate the kindness and I appreciate the love. But listen, man, this church ain't about Eddie White. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about the gospel and nothing more. Amen. The foundation, we've got the right foundation. Amen. I want you to notice the formation of the church. In verse 18, notice what the Lord said. He said, "I will build my church." Did you know there are scores of books out there and in the Christian bookstores, how to build a church? Did you know building this church ain't my job? You know what my job is? Preach the gospel. They go to seminars on how to build Sunday school, how to do this. And I know it's good to learn new methods and new ways, but not change the message. I understand all that. But listen, we ought to rely on Christ to build the church. Amen. He said, "I will build." Hey, listen, if I build it, it's going to be crooked. If I build it, she ain't going to be square. She's going to be like that leaning tire of pizza over there. It's going to be about to fall over. I can't build a doghouse. Amen. But boy, you can count on the fact if Jesus built it, she'll be built right. Amen. She'll be built right, just like it ought to be. Amen. I'm glad I'm serving the master builder of glory. I've got the foundation and I've allowed Him to take my little old life and build something on top of that foundation. Hallelujah. I ain't much to look at, but I'm a house that Jesus built. Amen. He needed a house to live in, so He built me. Amen. Ain't that a blessing? The formation of the church. The origin of the foundation of the church we find in verse number 18, Jesus Christ. The only foundation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. This is simple to some of you, I know. But think with me just for a minute. Everybody hasn't been saved as long as you have. Where did I tell y'all to go? Boy, it'd help if I'd get out of Galatians, wouldn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 11. He said, For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is, say it with me, Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. You try to build a church on fellowship, it'll falter. it'll fail. You try to build a church on different activities, it will fail. It will fall. It will stumble. You try to build a church like this Rick Warren, purpose-driven bunch of junk out of California, you try to build a church on that mess, and it will fall apart. Hey, there is no such thing as a touchy-feely, feel-good religion. Hey, there are times like Friday night, oh, brother, it felt good, hallelujah, to be in the house of God. But sometimes coming to the doctor hurts. Amen. It's got to be built on Jesus Christ and nothing less. He said, no other foundation can no man lay that is laid. Why are you trying to build a foundation to build something on when the foundation's already there? Amen. I'm so sick of seeing these billboards. A new kind of church. There ain't no new kind of church. Let me say it again. There ain't no new kind of church. It's the Lord's church or it ain't one. Amen. The only foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. Listen, why change it when the foundation is sovereign? Why try to change it when you've got the only foundation that'll work? When you've got a foundation that is perfect, you've got a foundation that is flawless, you've got a foundation that you couldn't match if you even tried, honey. I'm telling you, we've got the right foundation. It's sovereign. The foundation is scriptural. The foundation is scriptural. All through the Bible, you'll see that Christ is the head. Christ is the foundation. It's not only sovereign and scriptural, but I like this. It's sure. The foundation is sure. I ain't got to check on Jesus every day to see if he's changing. I ain't got to call heaven to see if God's all right. I have to call heaven to let him know I'm all right. Amen. I'm thank be unto God tonight. He ain't never changed. He never has and he never will. Amen. My foundation is sure. You know what sure is? It's something you can depend on. Amen. Some people build the church around the finances. You can tell we don't do that here. Amen. You know why this church don't have a bunch of money? God knows we'd do something stupid. Amen. Or he knows I would. Amen. I don't mind being broke. Let me say that again. Some of y'all didn't like it. I don't mind being broke. Dr. Harold Seitler pastored a great big old church up there in Greenville, South Carolina. Had a Bible college, the men's home, the ladies' home, Christian school, and all. Had all that stuff. And boy, you used to see that work, you'd think it's a multi-million dollar ministry. At the end of the month, he would have his financial guy come in, and he'd say, okay, what do we got left at the end of the month? He'd give Dr. Seitler a figure. It didn't matter if it was 100 or if it's 10,000. He'd say, divide it up and send it to missionaries. Divide it up, send it to the missionaries. He said, I don't want Jesus come back and us sitting on his money. I like that. Amen. Somebody said, what would you do if the church had $1 million? Spend it. Amen. I'd buy Jasmine and Caleb a house out there. Amen. They're ours, buddy. Amen. Church is built on all kind of stuff. I'm glad our foundation is sure, and I like this. Our foundation is strong. Our foundation is strong. You say, I don't see how God handles all this. He's God. That's how he handles it all. The church ain't never got too heavy for him. Matter of fact, it was at its heaviest before it was even birthed. It was at its heaviest at Calvary when he bore all our sin, past, present, and future. All at once. He didn't deal with them one day at a time. He dealt with them all right there, brother. Amen. I'm glad the foundation of the church is strong tonight. The foundation of the church. Listen, the people argue. I had a man try to tell me one day that John the Baptist started the Baptist church. John the Baptist didn't, huh? Not before the cross. No, sir. I believe the church actually started in the book of Acts, after Pentecost. The actual church, I believe that's where she is birthed right there, amen? And boy, and God started adding to the church daily, such as should be saved, amen? Thank God this church has the right foundation. And listen, we not only have the right foundation and the formation, but we have the right function as a church. A church is not a museum. And that's what they want them to be like, I think. I've been in some churches. I love to look at buildings. If I see a building that catches my eye while I'm out of town preaching somewhere, I'll have the pastor stop and I'll go in and say, hey, can we look around? Never been turned down. They're proud of it. Never been, oh yeah, sure, let's get somebody to show you around. They'll cut on all the lights. They'll cut the sound system on. They want you to see everything. They're proud of that thing. You know why? To them. And we ought to be respective of this, not the people. We ought to be respective of the people. I didn't mean to say that. But we ought to be respective of the building that God has given us. Amen? Brother Fisher was really impressed with the carpet and the paint and the hardwood and all that. Hey, it's about time we'd done something to spruce her up. Amen? Amen? But they're so proud. And you go through and you won't believe the millions of dollars they spend. I say make it nice, make it simple, and save some money. Amen. I don't want marble pillars and all that kind of stuff. There's a church in Texas, I believe it's in Houston, Levi, that has the one of the world's largest aquariums. They had, if you got the Animal Planet channel, there's a show that comes on there, it's called Tanked. Anybody ever seen that? That's the most interesting show. These guys build these custom aquariums. And that church spent millions of dollars. When you walk into the foyer, you come into the door, the next wall before you go into the sanctuary is an aquarium. That thing is at least 100 feet wide. I don't know how tall. And it's got a tunnel. You walk through the water, and it's got all these fish swimming through it. They've got a full-time marine biologist there to take care of them fish. Cool? Looks cool. Stupid? Very. Makes me wonder how many missionaries could have been supported on just that marine biologist's salary. The church has a function, and the function ain't fish. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. We all right tonight? The function of the church. The word church actually means the definition of church. Anybody know what it is? Called out. We are a called out assembly. Called out of what? Called out of hell, friend. Called out of Egypt. And called out of the world. We are an assembly of people who have been taken out of one thing and transfigured and put into another. Amen. I'm called out. At New Year's Eve, Brother Terry, when we was a-picking and a-grinning, and I left there and went to Brother Jay's house, I got called out. That Holy Ghost come by that split-bottom rocker I was sitting in, Mikey, and he said, hey, boy, I'm calling you out. Come out, come out, come out. I'm glad that night I became part of the church. Called out. Amen. The meaning. Then there is the message of the church. And the message is simply this, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, Paul talked about marriage. Did he not? He talked about duties of different positions in the church, but his main thing was Jesus Christ. Amen? That's got to be our main thing. I believe personal to eat right. I do, and I believe it. I didn't say I did it. I do. I believe a person ought to eat right, best you can. I'm probably the world's worst. I call opening a bag of Lay's, and I love that smell when that air comes out on your face. Somebody help me right there. Brother Freddie had some tater chips yesterday. I didn't know this. I ate just about every one of them. I'm sorry, brother. I don't have stopping power. I'm a binge tater chip eater. Amen. I was binging on his chips yesterday. They were some kind of hot ranch. Man, that stuff was awesome, boy. I just lost my whole train of thought. You got any of them, will you?
We can help you with that addiction on Friday.
Okay. Come to RU. Do I need to bring my chips with me? Amen. I just lost my whole train of thought. The message. Yeah. We ought to eat right. That ain't going to be our main message around here. Amen. We'll be honest. We'll do our best not to sin and do right. But you know what our main message is going to be? It's going to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Boy, you know what I like? What impressed me so much, Friday night, them two brothers just preached Jesus. Wasn't it amazing how much just simple, not, well, Brother Deans, I got to get and listen to it again. That wasn't simple. That was deep, boy. Wasn't it interesting in a camp meeting somebody get up there and just lift Jesus up? Boy, I like that. You don't hear that much anymore. Thank God we got some people come through here, buddy, that don't mind bragging on Him, that don't mind preaching on Calvary. Thank God, man. That is the message of the church. Amen. That is our message. I've had people say, why do you always preach salvation on Sunday morning? That's the message of the church. If it stops being our message, we need to take church off our sign. I agree with those churches that called themselves the Oasis. At least they didn't lie and call it a church. If McDonald's stops selling Happy Meals and they start selling Stacy's Barbecue, they'll lose their franchise. When you buy a franchise, I thought about buying one. When I was in Michigan, they got a sub shop up there. But oh, man, I'm getting hungry. But you sell their product. Do you understand that? When Jesus Christ birthed Happy Valley Baptist Church back there in the 60s, was it 63 or 68? Somewhere in that neighborhood. When Jesus Christ birthed this church, and I believe with all my heart He did, I believe there's a lot of them popping up He didn't have nothing to do with. And I don't mean to be real critical, but this bunch, it gets mad at this bunch and won't speak, and they go, I don't like that. I don't like that. You seldom see that thing prosper. Sometimes it won't prosper till that first bunch is dead. Jesus birthed this church. This church wasn't birthed out of anger, was it, Brother Charles? This church wasn't birthed out of a split. You know what happened? A bunch of men of God, just Christians, got together and wanted to have a little brush arbor meeting. And they put up a little brush arbor right there in that hole where our old church building is. And boy, the God showed up and God showed out. And that thing went 1 week and it messed around, went another week. And it messed around, was going, I think, the third or fourth week. And somebody said, you know what? I believe they ought to be a church right here. And they prayed and they sought God and they birthed a church and they said, what are we going to call it? And old Reuben Fields lived up on the hill there from the church, and that's Fieldsville over there. I wish Craig and them was here tonight. They out, ain't they? And he can always hear them fussing at one another across the road. He said, and he always called that Happy Valley. That's how the church got her name. Amen. I believe Jesus birthed this church. And if we stop preaching the gospel, we could lose our franchise. In other words, Jesus could take His hand off. There were some people here this morning, and bless their hearts, they don't know what we know. They ain't been and seen where we've been and seen what we've seen. But they was a little put out, all these kids. I could see it. I'm sorry. I had my way about it. I bring them in here at least once a month. I love it, man. That stirs me, buddy. And if it don't stir you, you're too thick to be stirred. You've done set up. The message of the church is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The methods of the church, I believe we got them pretty much right. Soul winning, gospel tract, revival meeting, yard signs, bumper magnets. Anything that'll get, I got me a new one. It is real tree. You see it? It is real tree camouflage. Says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I seen that thing down in South Georgia. I said, I got to have that. It was on the church's refrigerator. I prayed and asked God to forgive me. I didn't steal it. Preacher, give it to me. Everybody's doing all this bulk mailing, and I'm not against that. But that's not our main method. Our main method is preaching. You know what people want now? They want to go to church where they're going to have a concert for about 45 minutes and rock the house and pump the flesh up. You can't tell me your heart's ready for real preaching after that. I can't listen to Boot, Scoot, and Boogie and then open the Bible. Amen.
Amen.
Well, they can because they ain't got no Bible.
Yeah.
And then they get up there and get a little sermonette about 15 minutes from a little preacherette.
Yeah.
They go to the house.
Amen.
Our methods is soul winning, evangelism, preaching, not only in here but out there.
Yeah.
Amen. You know who looks at us the weirdest? Our guys when they're on the street. People with a fish on their trunk.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't never get lost people cuss you out. Them Christians will roll up their window. I'm saved already. Really? You look saved. I'm telling you. Hey. Amen. You ever had them do that? I've had them roll their window up, man. Stick it under the windshield wiper. Amen. I always tell them this. Well, give it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Problem is, they don't care.
Yeah.
Amen. Our methods are not going to change.
Amen.
Say it again. Long as I got, and I know I'm getting closer to the end. I'll be 49 Wednesday. Lord, have mercy. I ain't turning 50. Y'all can forget that junk. Oh, no. I see what it's done to Warren. I ain't doing it. You're waiting patiently. Amen. I deserve whatever I get, by the way. Amen. But seriously, our methods are not going to change. We're going to have loud preaching. Amen. I think preaching's supposed to be loud. That teaching is quiet. Preaching is loud. Teaching can get loud, too. Mine always did. Amen. My teaching always turned into preaching. Our methods are not going to change. We're still going to support fellowship track league, and we're going to put them gospel tracks out. Amen. We're still going to march in the parade and hand out gospel tracks. We're not going to hand out just invitations to church. They're going to have the gospel on them. We're going to have trunk or treat, and what we give them kids when they come through, we had them look like tickets to the carnival this year. That was the coolest thing. Hey, you know what they had on? They had the gospel of Jesus Christ on them. Hey, our methods will not change. Churches are changing right and left. We got one right down the road, friend. Friend of mine, love him with all my heart. They went away from the King James Bible. They went away from church on Sunday night. Amen. I know some traditions are not necessary, but some are. I think church three times a week is good. You can't tell me once is enough. I need more than that. Something's wrong when you don't want to go to church. Man, I remember when I got saved. How many of you remember when you first got saved? We went to church. We went to White Oak that Sunday morning. Man, I couldn't wait. I was praying that preacher wouldn't shut up. I was digging it, man. But Sunday night, I wanted to go back. I went back on Wednesday night. I went to every revival meeting. I'm serious, man. I fell in love with going to church. And now they're trying to find every reason in the world not to go. Y'all all right? Our methods ain't going to change. Our music ain't going to change. I want it to get better, and it is. Man, that choir was awesome last week, guys. Especially that night we had the server's microphone up here. That thing made a difference. But my wife said, blow your head off. Now, good, I like blow your head off choir music. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's the way I listen to Hank Jr. I'll crank it up. I'm going to crank Jesus up. Amen. Amen. The method of the church. Now, we talked about the sure foundation. Now, I want you to think with me about the structure that is built on that rock. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1. Y'all doing okay tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Ephesians chapter number 1. I want you to notice what the church is. What the church is. What is built on that foundation. Ephesians chapter 1. And look with me at verse number 22. He said, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Watch verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What is the church? It is the body of Christ.
Amen.
What is the church? It is the body of Christ. What is a body? It's what you live in, right? Are y'all listening to me? It's what you live in. Hey, what I'm trying to say is Jesus has took up abode in here. That'll make some of you happy. Some of you look like he moved out. Amen. The church is the body of Christ. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse number 31. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 31. The Bible said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Now watch this. He said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." I speak concerning Christ and the church. In other words, he said, Christ, the church is not just the body of Christ, but then he goes on and says the church is the bride of Christ.
Amen.
There's going to be a wedding.
Amen.
Have you got your invitation?
Yeah.
There's going to be a wedding.
Amen.
In heaven. I had some guys, I used to preach a message about that ancient Jewish wedding. You remember that, Brother Charles? I preached that message, and I preached it at New Manna one year in the camp meeting. And Brother Tony and Miss Becca had just got married, and Becca still had her wedding dress and still fit in it, all that. And I got down to the end of that thing, and Sister Kathy started playing "Here Comes the Bride," and Becca come down that aisle. I was talking about him presenting that church to himself, and she come down that aisle in that wedding gown. Hey, boy, that's some people got mad. There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. We are the bride of Christ. We're the body of Christ, but we're also the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You don't marry somebody you don't love. Amen. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We'll be done in a few minutes. Y'all just hold on. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We said the church is the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, are y'all there? No? I'll wait on you. All right. Verse number 9. The Bible said, "For we are laborers together with God." Watch this. "Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Ye are God's building. Listen, we don't worship wood and stone. We love our church, don't get me wrong, but this ain't what we're worshiping. Yeah, hey, you know what? This church, if we pack up and move, and we may do that again sometime in the future. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is. I'm praying. I'm seeking it. As soon as I know, I'll tell you. But buddy, this time you can mark her down. I'll know. I won't miss that again. But anyway, we may move in the future. I know where I would like for us to go. I would like for us to go to Gold Dust Park. We have some room to spread out and play with them kids every week. Amen. I don't know. What I'm trying to say is, when we move, this is no longer Happy Valley. Do you understand that? This building is not Happy Valley Baptist Church. You and I are Happy Valley Baptist Church. So wherever I am and wherever you are, that's where Happy Valley Baptist Church is. If we lose everything and have to file bankruptcy and have to meet in a chicken house, that chicken house will become Happy Valley Baptist Church, because we are God's building. We're the body of Christ, and we're the bride of Christ, and we're the building of Christ. Amen. Isn't that pretty cool? Amen. I've always said this: home is not a place, it's people. Amen. Home is not a place. Hey, when we built our house and moved out of my mother-in-law's basement, glory to God, that's the best move I ever made in my life. You ain't live till you live in your mother-in-law's basement. Amen. We lived in my mother-in-law's basement. It really wasn't that bad. I'm just exaggerating. I'm lying, Brother Anthony. How about that? Amen. When we moved out of that basement and moved into our new home, that new home was our new home because that's where we were.
Right.
Amen. Well, it's so funny to me. I said to my wife the last time she traveled with me, and I forgot where it was. Maybe it was New Manna. Maybe I believe that's when it was when I said it. We was at the hotel, and I said, "Man, when you're here, it feels like I've never left home. When I'm with her, I'm at home. And when I'm with you, I'm in church."
Yeah.
Amen. You know where Happy Valley Baptist Church was yesterday? It's kind of ironic. Goldust Park.
Amen.
Goldust Park yesterday became Happy Valley Baptist Church for a little while.
Yeah,
amen. So I'm just trying to inform you and prepare you. I'm not saying don't go Facebooking. That'll get me in a mess with the mayor and the town. Don't go doing that.
Amen.
Don't go saying, "Brother Eddie said we're buying Goldust Park." I didn't say that. I just said I could see it. Amen. So what I'm trying to say is if God did move us out of here, he may have us build a new sanctuary right here beside this. I don't know. Whatever it is, I'm willing. If it has to be that chicken house, hey, I've preached in worse. Amen. I'm just trying to say, don't be so attached to this. You are what makes this a church. Don't get so emotionally attached to it. You know how uncomfortable I was when we first came here? Oh, man, it took me for... I got lost. I couldn't find my truck. I'm serious. I'd get so turned around in this place, I wouldn't know which parking lot I parked in. It was awful. It felt like an echo in here when I preached. I didn't like it. But God said, do it. And you know what? It wasn't long. It got to be just as much home. You know why? Because you guys were here. Because you guys were here. When Brother Charles came back, boy, it really started feeling like home then. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, thank God for a church. Woo. The structure of the church. Let's look at one more. It's the building of God. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. I'm almost done. I got one more point, and we'll go to the house. And I got some jalapeno sausage in my refrigerator. I'm going home and have me a big old fat hot dog. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. Say amen when you get there.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me at verse number 15. 1 Timothy 3:15. He said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in, watch this, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. How about that? It's the house of God. And he said not only that, he said it was the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, God's building. And then he calls it the house of God, which is the pillar. And was it pillar and foundation?
Ground.
The pillar and ground of truth. You know what? This place ought to be the pillar of truth. You know what people are looking for when they come to church? Truth. I met a converted Muslim, and you don't meet many of those, in Michigan this year. I was in Broadway Baptist Church in Saginaw, Michigan. And the pastor told me, he said, talk to that Indian-looking fellow there when church is over. Tell him to give you his testimony. He came here from Turkey, was raised as a Muslim from the time he was born into this world. He said, when I came to America, he said, I was in search of truth. He said, and I prayed. He said, Pastor, I didn't even know who I was praying to. He said, I didn't know if it was Allah. I didn't know if it was Buddha. He said, here's what I prayed. God, whoever you are, God, whatever be your name, lead me to truth. He said he made a deal with God, and he got the phone book out. He was in a motel when he first got here, and he got the phone book out. And he said, God, here's what I'm going to do. He said, whoever you are, I'm going to start visiting these churches right here, and I'm going to start at A. And when I hear truth, let me know that I've heard truth. That little Muslim boy was in search of truth. He hit this church and this church. I'm glad Broadway started with a B. He didn't have to go far. Amen. He said the first Sunday he sat down, and that guy opened that King James Bible and began to proclaim the Word of God. He said, in my heart, all I could hear, I couldn't even hear what the man of God was saying. All I could hear was truth, 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 truth. That's it right there. That's the truth. Amen. He said, and I got saved that morning. I've been here ever since. And then I got to talking to him, and this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but I asked him about those peace-loving Muslims. He said, Pastor, there's no such thing. He said, we are taught from birth to hate your guts, to wish and pray you dead. He said, those so-called peace-loving Muslims, he said, they're just waiting. That's a little scary, isn't it? They're just waiting. Waiting for what? Don't know. Promise you it ain't good. They're not waiting to bless us. I've got a feeling they're waiting to blast us. Amen. Shooting starts. I got a gun too. Amen. The structure of the church. It's the body of Christ. It's the bride of Christ. It's God's building. It's the house of God. Now, back to Matthew. You don't have to turn there. But I want you to notice the security of the church. The security of the church. Can I just say to you tonight, church, you're safe.
Amen.
You're safe. This is a safe place. Amen. He said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a guard. We have a watchman who is watching over this little body of believers right here. Amen. And by the way, we believe in the local church. Not this big universal thing. And I know there's churches all over. Hey, when Jesus wrote in the book of Revelations to the churches in Asia Minor. Yes. Amen. It was churches. We believe in local. We believe in independent. We don't have a boss headquarters in Atlanta. Running this church. Amen. You ain't got to worry about headquarters sending you a new preacher every other year or whatever. Amen.
Amen.
It's a local church, but I want you to know she's secure tonight. We are personally put in Him. Look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 5. We're just about done. Ephesians chapter number 5. We was just there a minute ago. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 30. Y'all looking at it? The Bible said, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones." How about that? I've got Christ in me, but watch this. I don't ask me to explain this, but I'm in Him. And you won't believe it, but I'm already in heaven. He said, people are looking like, what? The Bible says we're seated together in heavenly places. He said, oh, that's talking about here. This ain't no heavenly place. No, man. We had a guy come in church the other night, dog drunk. That ain't a heavenly place. Ain't going to be nobody walking in heaven dog drunk. I'm not going to go into all that, but somehow, there's a part of me. I'm as good as there, friend. Amen. We are personally put in Him. Does that make you feel better? That's not just Him and me. I'm in Him. And couldn't get out if I wanted to. It's like that Hotel California. You can check out, but you can't leave, friend. Amen. I'm saved. And I'm saved for good. We get so many people down here at the altar. And they'll come to pray and we'll ask them, are you saved? Well, I was one time. They've been taught a bunch of heresy that you can lose your salvation. If I really believed that, I'd be a nervous wreck. What do you do? How do you lose it? How do you lose what you don't have? It has you. Y'all all right? I'm glad He's got me. I told a charismatic, and he's a friend of mine. He's dead and in heaven now. But I told him one day, his name was Mr. Cocker. I said, Mr. Cocker, if you can lose your salvation, what do you do to lose it?
Amen.
And he just looked at me. I said, well, listen carefully. I said, I'm not trying to be mean or start a big fight with you. Because he started it. He said, yeah, you eternally saved, ain't you, buddy? I said, sure I am. Wished you was. He was, he just didn't know it.
Amen.
Amen. I said, Swagger. Jimmy Swagger, is that right? Jimmy Swagger. They caught him with prostitutes. And he preached you could lose your salvation. Didn't he? But he didn't lose his.
Amen.
If you can lay up with prostitutes and not lose it, well, that's a pretty broad thing there, isn't it? I'd say if prostitution's buying prostitutes don't kick you out, you ain't going to get kicked out.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
And he just stood there and mumbled. He sounded like a Volkswagen going down the road. Amen. Thank God I am secure. We are personally put in Him. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And look with me at verse number 12. I believe that's right. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Persuaded that He is able to keep, not me able to keep. This is the same man that said in Romans chapter 7 that in Him dwelleth no good thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that right? He said, that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But now he says, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What did I commit unto him? My soul. And he's able to keep that thing. Amen. It ain't you keeping Jesus, it's Jesus keeping you. Well, we'd all been out a long time ago. Go to chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. I'm just done. It's okay just to look at some scriptures every now and then. Chapter 4, look at verse number 18. The Bible said, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will, say the next word.
Preserve.
Say it again.
Preserve.
Preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he backs up right there and says, amen. Preserved. I like that word, preserved. Did you know you can can some jelly? I got some for my birthday this morning. Jelly's good. Fig preserved. Brother Warren, give me some figs, but you can't do a fig bad. Amen. I'm dropping little hints there. I love fig preserved on a biscuit with butter running down your elbow. Amen. My granny would make jelly and she'd put them lids on there. And it'd be hot when she'd pour it in there. She'd set them up on the counter. And just here in a few minutes, it'd sound like a young war in the kitchen. You know what it was? It was that air going, sucking that lid down on there. And I remember my granny putting that muscadine jelly in my hand. That little jar was still warm. She said, baby, you take this home. She said, and you put that on the shelf. She said, and it'll just keep and keep and keep and keep and keep. How long will it keep, granny? Till you open it? She said, it's sealed. Nothing bad can get in and nothing good can get out. Bible says we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are sealed by the Holy Ghost of God, and he'll pop the cork, baby, when the trumpet blows and the good is coming out and the bad is staying here and the good is a going up. Amen. The security of the church. We are personally put in him. We are personally preserved in him. In John chapter 14, I'm done. You ain't got to turn there. And we are personally promised heaven. Personally promised heaven. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I go away to prepare a place for you. Oh, if it were not so, man, I need to turn over. My mind just went blank. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Had a guy tell me one day he believed we was going to heaven, but none of us was good enough to be right where Jesus was. And Jesus said, I am. What makes me good enough? He did. I believe I'm going to see him face to face. And I believe that'd be one of the hardest faces you've ever tried to look at. Especially at first visit. Whew. There's too many expecting that, well done. Can't wait to hear my Father say, well done. He may say, shame on you. But boy, once we get that initial meeting over with, yeah, I'm going to be where he is.
Yes,
to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm not going to be stuck over in some corner in a cabin. Build me a cabin in the corner of heaven. There ain't going to be no cabins in heaven. Going to be mansions, country boy. Hey, man, I don't want no cabin. I can get that in Gatlinburg. Amen. Going to be present with him. And I promise you, he ain't living in no cabin tonight. He's sitting on a throne. There's a river running out from under that thing. There's a tree there bearing 12 manner of fruit all year round. There's a street that's paved with gold. Woo. Did you know, I'll give you this and I'm done. Brother Todd, you can come. You know, the Bible talks about that street of gold being clear as crystal. Now, that ain't gold. Brother Charles got a gold wedding brand. That's not clear. He said, but it's made out of gold and it's clear as crystal. You know what scientists, that Bible is so far ahead of man, it ain't funny. They have just in recent years discovered that gold in its purest form is as clear as crystal.
Amen.
How about that? So it's not just going to be gold, it's going to be the purest gold.
Amen.
It's going to have walls of jasper, gates of pearl.
Amen.
There's going to be no night there. But there's not going to be no S-U-N to shine every day.
Right.
But there's going to be a S-O-N. And that's where I'm going. And I'm as sure of it as I'm sure of anything. Thank God for the church. Church is everything. Church is everything. And we ought to make much of it. We ought to be here when her doors are open. Amen. We ought to gather when she gathers. We ought to support it. We ought to support it physically. We ought to support it prayerfully. We ought to support it monetarily. I like what old Brother Sammy Allen used to say. They didn't have conference, they had male members meeting. But he didn't just call it a male members meeting. He called it a tithe and male members meeting. He said, if you don't tithe, you don't vote. I like that mentality. Hey man, if you ain't got nothing invested, you ain't got no say-so. Amen goes right there. We ought to support it in every way. We ought to back it up. We ought to support one another when we fall and we mess up. Instead of helping to push people down further, we ought to be there trying to help them up. Amen. Thank God for the church. Do you love the church tonight? Again, not this building. I'm talking about each other. Do you love old Thomas Hogus back there hollering amen at me? I love that. You love Brother Tommy even when he's running around the building and embarrassing you? I love that. Do you love it when old Legina cuts loose and goes to shout? I love that. Do you love it when people go to the altar and just stand up and testify and they keep testifying, you want to go home, they won't shut up? Do you still love her then? Amen. Do you still love it when you're sick and out and nobody calls to see about you? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you called to see about somebody? When's the last time you called? When's the last time you said, I hadn't seen so-and-so. I'm going to call and see about it. Till you start doing that, hush. Amen. I love my church. This is where Jesus put me. I believe this is where I'll stay till he calls me home. I'm not necessarily talking about this building. I'm talking about with you. Sister Janice sings that song, I want us to be together in heaven. On earth, I just want us to grow old together. We're doing a pretty good job of it, Brother Charles. I want us to grow old together. I love my church. You can't do anything to make me not love you. You may mess up in the biggest kind of way, but we'll love you. And it's not just me, it's this church. We have that kind of spirit.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Somebody told me the other day, he said, I want to come back to church, but I'm embarrassed. I said, you're crazy. You know better than that. You walk in that door, we'll love you. Where you are, like you are. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Hope you got something out of that. Maybe we'll come ask God to help us to be faithful to our church. Be faithful to Him. Be faithful to one another. You just mind the Lord. You got a verse, Brother Todd, you can sing?